Why do people have a problem with women and trans women or anybody that wants to be strong?
Yeah.
Physically strong and emotionally strong. People wanting the need to repress that is so misogynistic and is so disgusting to me.
Hello all, and welcome to Marsha, 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 the podcast. I'm your host, Marsha Molinari, and you are here listening to the podcast that brings true and heartfelt human connection. I believe if you don't know about it, you can't care about it. And that's why we're here today. Hi, and welcome to Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I am here and I want to introduce the world-renowned fashion designer featured in fashion shows in London, Paris, and Milan. At age 18, became one of the youngest designers ever to debut in New York Fashion Week and the youngest designer couture,
couture
show,
yeah.
Right? In Paris? Work. I knew that. Iconic creations worn by Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, Cher, my personal favorite, we share a birthday, Katy Perry,
yeah.
J-Lo, Zendaya,
keep going,
Miranda Kerr,
keep going,
Kerry Washington,
oh yeah,
Hailey Baldwin,
uh-huh,
Miley Cyrus,
oh yeah.
And your pronouns are he, him?
He, him.
Sometimes yeah. I call you Shim.
It's okay.
But I know you best as my roommate and best friend.
This is all true.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about how you got, I know, but let's tell everyone how you got started in fashion.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I've been doing fashion since I was in the womb, practically. I mean, I started out with napkins and forks at restaurants and designing for silverware. Then I graduated to Barbies with silk shoe bags, and my mom used to buy shoes just for the bags. And then I got a dress form, and then look out world, here I came.
Look out world. I mean, I know that it's definitely in your DNA.
Yeah, it's intrinsic for sure.
So when you say the womb, it's that, because when you design, you just start doodling, and then you start going in, and then all of a sudden there's this gorgeous drawn gown, and imagination goes wild.
It's almost as if, have you seen Tyler Henry, the Hollywood medium?
Yeah.
How he sketches while he's getting his reading to kind of distract his brain.
That is just like that, actually.
I'm like the opposite.
Right.
Like, I need outward stimulation in order for me to just sketch, and then my hand goes. Like, I very rarely will see something in the real world and then be inspired by it. I'm usually inspired by either architecture and the people that live in homes, their stories, or like movies, and then I see a phantasmagoria in my head, and then I kind of follow suit after that, and I start creating the music for the movie in my head, and the set design, and then kind of clothing is last.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
I mean, I've kind of been in those worlds with you. So
yeah, they're fun.
I'm like obsessed.
Till they're not.
Yeah. It's get a little scary. So besides dressing me and you designed the most beautiful things for me. Who's your favorite celebrity that you've dressed for?
I loved working with Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
For my Oscars piece.
That was iconic.
It was my first time showing in Paris Fashion Week, excuse me. And we got the call to turn on the TV, and there she was in our jade gown.
So you didn't know until she went on the carpet?
No, Gigi was my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be wearing the dress at the show that I was doing, and then they were like, sorry, we can't have it in the show. I'm like, why? I made it.
Yeah.
They're like, because somebody wants to wear it. I was like, okay, fine. But I was very, very happy about that.
Yeah, no, that's...
But honestly, also, dressing you, dressing Gigi, dressing Hailey Hasselhoff, Cher, like the people that I've known
right.
Since I was a kid. Those are my favorite times because we just treat the atelier like a dress-up room. Some are more respectful than others, I do have to say. but it's the best, you know. We've spent countless like late nights there with bottles of champagne and celebration.
Speaking of bottles of champagne, I know that you are...
Lack thereof.
Lack thereof, right now. You're recently sober, correct?
3 months today.
Yes, amazing. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And how do you think that affects your creative space? And like,
I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
I designed the collection that I'm working on right now while not in a solid state of mind in any way, shape, or form. And so completing it now is a little bit challenging, mostly because I don't remember designing it, but also because it's me practicing that I was wrong about my creativity this entire time. I always thought that my creativity was mothered in darkness and was saturated by my internal demons. And now I'm finding that it actually resides in my heart and in my happiness.
I love that.
Which I hate.
No.
I'm kidding.
No, honestly, like, your sobriety has been a journey, and I'm so thankful that I get to witness it, because I think it's a very beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Like, honestly. Like,
I mean, my last... It's kind of crazy. We're here at Fred Segal's, and there's NFTs everywhere. How my digital collection, Tinnitus...
Yeah.
It was all kind of about happiness on the outside, but it was actually a pretty dark collection, and I don't think anybody knew that about me.
No, yeah.
That I was really, really struggling. I was heavily using.
And that's one of, like, one of my favorite collections by you.
Right, it is. But because it was all about repainting your darkness, but I was completely negating the fact that bitch is still dark.
Yeah.
I was just putting a fresh coat of paint and a wig on top of it and calling it a day. I really needed to sit down and face myself and be like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What's going on, Oggs?
No, I think you've done it in such a beautiful way, coming out of what you just said, out of a dark space, and just deciding for yourself that this is, I want to change. I want a different road. I mean.
Onion girl.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling down the layers. And I feel like in the atmosphere and world that we particularly live in, it's really hard but we do know the outcome of staying on one road. This is just a different outcome. You're trying it out. Like, you know, it's new for you. And I think that's very brave, and it's like, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. So in fashion, like, as you were growing up and, like, designing, were you ever, like, I'm going to ask this question because it's personal to me, but... Were you ever embarrassed to tell people that I design dresses? I was always scared to tell people
I thought you were going to say, was I ever embarrassed by what my family was wearing?
But maybe let's go there.
That's a little that's a little more true to heart.
Yeah.
Was I ever embarrassed? I don't think I gave myself the space for me to be embarrassed. Because it was never something... It was kind of like me having, you know, my red hair as a kid. I couldn't run away from it. I'd be, like, sketching, and in the middle of, like, school, for example, and I never really gave two shits about it. Things that I could hide, like my body or my trauma, that's the stuff I was always embarrassed about.
Yeah.
But stuff that's, like, outwardly there, I have such a hard time shying away from it and not celebrating it, and I treat it like a limb. Like, no matter what, it's going to grow. If I put it in a sleeve, you're still going to know that I have an arm.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Right. Do you have arms?
I sure don't.
Well, the reason why I say that, because I know for myself growing up, I couldn't really be who I really wanted to be, and I didn't know what that was then. I used to hide dresses under my sink, and, like, you know, it was like, if you didn't play sports, then, you know, you were called a girl or... the F word, and not fuck.
Fashionable.
Yeah, fashionable. And when I was in gymnastics, I couldn't tell people that I was in gymnastics. I was so scared, but I loved it so much. And I wanted to be athletic in that way. And I guess that's just kind of my way of going into what we do now.
Right, I was going to say, you're having like a huge turning point of fitness, which I'm so proud to you about. This is going to turn to like a crying episode, no. I swear. No, you've succeeded so much with different mediums of exercise.
Yeah.
And we're on the journey together, which is so much fun. Congratulations on just completing the Spartan race.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
My completely. Second now, but we're doing one in
March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm excited for that.
I'm so excited too.
And I think that the reason for myself to want to post and share that we're doing Spartan races is because it's really for my, like, inner child that, like, was always kind of like maybe pick last or scared to do sports because I wasn't allowed to be feminine and, you know, being masculine at the same time, or not masculine, strong. And even nowadays, I kind of get like comments like, oh, well, if you're going to be a woman or if you're transitioning, why are you working out? Why are you lifting weights? Why are you punching a punching bag? You know, why are you into martial arts? And like, I've really sat with that. I'm like, wait, why can't the two exist together?
Why can't you both?
Yeah. And so I think it's important to show young queer youth that, hey, look, they're wearing a dress and...
entering Marsha's arts.
Yeah, entering Marsha's arts, which is my favorite thing to do.
I think maybe it's a thought, too, that you weren't even allowing yourself to be both.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Because you had... I don't think you've ever been in quite the same headspace that you're in right now.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Which I don't know... If you went down any other road, if it would have led here, it might have... or it might just be a different avenue of what right now looks like. But I think it's kind of coming all into fruition.
No, I think so too. Honestly, like when people talk about COVID, I can't picture my life without that tragic moment happening, because I really had to sit with myself for a very long time, stare at the wall for hours, these kind of things, and sit with my actual thoughts. And then decide that I was going to do it without drinking or any of those things. So I was like, well, what am I going to do now? And I found inspiration through running. And I just started running further and further.
You're still running.
And I'm still running.
This is a running podcast.
Exactly. We're on treadmills, everyone. And now the Spartan races, which I know that we were both obsessed with way before we even lived together.
It goes back to when we were kids and how badly I almost joined the army.
Me too.
Because I wanted to go on an obstacle course so fucking
bad.
Wait,
the Marines came to my house.
And tell me more.
I don't know. I was like, I'm going to get out of here, actually. Like, anything to get out of my home and small town mindedness situation. And I was considering joining to travel and just get out of
it. Oh, so yours is more deep. Mine was for the obstacle course.
Just the ones.
And that's kind of what the Spartan race is. It's a giant obstacle course for grown-ups. Bear in mind, I saw children doing it.
Right, I know. So when we try to convince our friends, I'm trying to explain. There are mothers and children there, like full families.
Exactly.
So like really anyone can do it. It's not something that...
It's for everybody.
It's for everyone.
Size, gender.
Yeah. And I recently took a friend with me, because you were absent, but he was so nervous, and he told me that he could barely sleep the day before, and he didn't want to talk in the car, and I had to turn around and tell him, like, you need to relax, because it's not what people actually think it is. It's not going to, like, you're not going to die.
Well, I think camaraderie also scares people, too.
Oh, I think so,
I know
too.
I'm terrified by camaraderie. By people cheering me on is probably the scariest thing ever. It beats being sung happy birthday to, on top of like maybe one of the worst things, until you really, really need it. And then you're like, oh, I can walk up this mountain. Thank you for cheering.
Exactly.
And then you do it for the person behind you. And then you're like, oh, I love this shit.
Yeah. And you see like a family doing it and cheering each other on.
Right.
I think it's all
seeing a family do it and just like a gentle tear.
You have a family?
Do family.
Is that a dad? Daddy, please.
Daddy. No.
I said I was going to stop saying that.
Liar.
Liar. I just want to ask you, so do you think, and I know you do, the importance, like we do, show LGBTQ children, young youth, that sports, they can do sports. You know, like basketball players coming out as gay. And I think that's so important. And I know, like, I helped with the Lakers Pride Night in starting that. And I thought it was very big of them in their field and
which
industry.
Which is such an incredible night.
Yeah, right?
And tonight I'm doing the NFL Pride Night.
Yeah, so I think it's growing and people starting to be like, we need to jump on
this.
Listen,
the more people that can do sports so I don't have to is music to my ears.
So we champion them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it is for everybody. And I mean, if we can take a serious note, so I became sober because, you know why, but for everybody that doesn't, something very traumatic happened to me.
Yes.
And I wasn't able to kind of touch people for a very long time after that. Hugs were not accepted. I didn't want to be touched at all. And fitness really became a coping mechanism for me to start to trust people again through becoming physical and through trusting my body more and through trusting my trainer and then holding a weight and then having him help me and then starting to touch people more.
Yeah.
And so it really was an incredible gateway for me to break through something incredible.
No, and I've noticed that actually happening throughout your journey, and I would often tell people, do not touch him.
Yeah.
Don't touch him. And, you know, and that comes from a very caring place and from me. And I've noticed that you're letting those walls down more and more.
I still don't want to be touched.
No, I don't want to. Maybe we should announce that.
But I will give you a
if
hug.
If you see him, grab him. No, that's true.
Just a wave is fine.
Yeah. So here we are on our fitness journey. Do you see yourself doing maybe like a marathon or a triathlon?
Like a Jersey Shore marathon, yeah, a Friends marathon, Girls Next Door marathon.
Right. We'll put our treadmills out.
Yeah. A marathon.
Or should we just stick to
Listen, never say never.
Right.
I'm really into obstacle courses. I'm such a child. But, I mean, I'm so down to explore any other avenue. I know I was talking about paddleboard yoga the other day, or if we went to, like, a parkour gym.
Yeah.
I mean, we're children.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know? At we heart, like we to all put are. On our superwomen capes and...
And our wigs.
Yeah, and be Marvel characters.
And wrestle.
Right. Are you trying to get me to do a marathon?
It's in there. I'm planting the seed.
Why?
Why? It's not going to happen.
Why? No, I mean... Yeah, sure. And like, I don't think I can do it in LA. I think maybe if we go somewhere like gorgeous.
Hawaii,
Ireland, Portland.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to look and do some research.
The Bev Center.
Yeah. We could do that. Well, for me, it's like, I don't know. I'm like addicted, like you said.
But you do marathons every day, pretty much.
Pretty much. You know, I was so shocked when... We were in Rome that I could run 15 miles. I didn't know that, but I was just actually so inspired by the architecture and all the things and the people that I just went running. And
what goes through your head when you run?
I mean, literally everything from, I mean, it can be very emotional, actually. Like, I've cried on runs. When I cry, I run faster. But so, like, that gives me, like, a little bit of a jolt, but...
Trying to run away from the tears.
Yeah.
Can't catch me.
But, I mean, everything goes through my mind, you know, be it, like, what am I going to wear tonight? Or sometimes zombies, because I'm being chased by zombies.
Exactly.
That really gets me through it. But I don't know. I do love that I am addicted to it. And I know you are, too, because the day after our first Spartan race, we were like, we can do this again.
We could do this today.
Yeah, we wanted to.
Yeah.
And I love that about us. And I just think, like, I don't know. I'm feeling so strong and so powerful. And you are part of this journey because you give me a space that I can be myself, honestly. Like, I'm so thankful. Like, I'm sorry, I'm tearing up. But I am generally thankful for you because I've never found anyone that loves to, like, put on hair and put on makeup and put on dresses and, like, really, like, you know, people do it for fun.
Yeah.
But we generally love it. Like,
right.
It's in our heart and soul.
Yeah, it's a part of us.
And to have a partner that to do that with and champions, you champion me so much, is really quite special. And
Button.
And I know, Button. And I think that because of that, because of the support that I get, especially from you, I want to do more, and I want to run further, and I want to, you know, learn a new craft like Muay Thai that I'm doing right now.
The bruises
all
that Marsha has right now are insane.
Yeah, no, I'm constantly...
Consensual bruises.
Consensual bruises. I'm constantly bruised, and, you know, in a way... I'm not going to say I loved being bruised because that's kind of like...
We probably should look into that.
Yeah, I think
we should
that,
unpack this later.
Yeah,
when
that,
we're
that
home.
Comes from like something else. But no, but sometimes I look down and I was like, I really worked hard, you know, for that.
Battle scars.
Yeah, battle scars.
I think Pocket, our dog, has been a really huge help, too.
And he's been, like, such a blessing.
He's a pride and joy.
I don't think that we both thought we could handle a dog, but it just kind of happened, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still was...
hesitant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I probably wasn't in the soundest mind yet, but it was, like, right when I was in my detox program.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this Pocket? Are we going to take this one? And
yeah, because for us, when we...
Otters have pockets.
Okay. I don't think a lot of people know that.
They do. I mean, I didn't know it was like a fun fact. I literally thought that everybody knew that otters have pockets. And they...
here, right?
Yeah, and they put their favorite rock in their pocket. And then so I had this obsession of getting an otter because I got a stuffed animal and it was an otter. And I was like, oh, look at that pocket. And then so anything cute, we started sending. Look at that pocket.
It's Pocket.
And then we found a dog named Pocket. Well, we named him, but
it was a breed.
But he was
the pocket breed.
The pocket dog.
Yeah.
And it makes it sound like he's tiny. This motherfucker's like 85 pounds.
He's massive.
He's Nikita. He's giant. And my mom told me that he was like a very relaxing Zen dog. These are like Japanese fighting dogs.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah, we haven't seen that side of him yet.
No.
And he is very calm.
He's a baby.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy that we get to share him and love him so much. So, you know, besides sports and fashion that we just talked about, your past collections, what's new for you? I mean, I know, but tell us what's the new collection and what can we be expecting from Auguste Getty Atelier?
The new collection is entitled Onion Girl. For many different reasons. I kind of wanted it to be comical because I feel like I haven't dabbled in that yet. And
well, you're very funny, naturally.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I work really, really hard on it.
Yeah, you do.
It has like several meanings. One of them is because I am Onion Girl. Get too close. I'll make you cry. Defense mechanisms. Layers to me. But it's also about...
That's poetic.
Thank you.
Yeah, no,
but it's about
that.
Like... I am how you see me as.
Yeah.
Your perception of me is exactly who I will be to you, and I can't change that.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at an onion and think what you think about it, but it's not until you see what's underneath it, add some salt, add some white wine, some butter, and make an amazing bechamel sauce, and then you're like, oh, that's the fucking ticket. I'm huge on, like, weird metaphors, so if this gets confusing for anybody, just read the subtitles in this podcast.
Right, yeah. We'll leave, like, a description
somewhere.
On the side.
an audio subtitle. And it's really about me going home and healing. I feel with every collection that I do, there's a dark collection, and then there's the next collection usually heals from it. So it's a really healing, calm space from tinnitus. I wanted to step away.
I mean, it's way different, and I mean, people haven't seen it yet, but I got to see previews of it, and it is totally different from tinnitus.
It's totally different.
Which
softer,
you're in a different space, so
completely.
It makes sense.
If you look at the two, you know, the armory aspect of tinnitus and the welding and the heavy-handed artistry was such a protection, and it even looks like protection.
Yeah.
And Onion Girl is so open and free and whimsical.
You've peeled away those layers, and now you've arrived at Onion Girl.
I think it's just I am the layers.
Yeah.
And each layer is me.
Yeah.
I'm Onion Girl.
I mean, you are a ton of layers.
Thank you.
Yes. I know, I mean, you've seen my evolution of, like, me from where I dressed in
regalia.
Suits. Regalia. Suits, and then to caftans. Now to, I think I've come into my style. And, you know, and it's not always as easy as people think. You know, people are... constantly telling, which I am so thankful for. You know, if I can be an inspiration to anyone or even one person, it's not why I do it, but it definitely makes it that much more worth it. And I'm finding that, like, I have to, like, constantly have an inner dialogue with myself. Like, this, you can do this. You can, because, you know, for instance, actually, when I was at the Lakers game recently, and I'm walking, back to my seat, and it's kind of courtside, And humble brag. But I heard someone, like, people are always like, oh my God, I love this, I love this, I love your hair, I love, you know, this on you, your jacket or your shoes. And, you know, it's very nice to hear, but then I also heard, what the hell even are you?
Right.
Like, it was like an Adam Sandler soundbite from a movie. What the hell even are you?
Yeah.
And I just heard it, and I mean, it made me giggle because it sounded funny, but in a sense, it was like, there's the person, you right. know, the one heckler or something. And, you know, I've come home to you and told you, like, certain things, like, you know, at a certain workout class, I overheard them talking about me and saying, like, well, what is it? She, him, her.
Which you still go to the class.
I'm addicted.
I understand that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was kind of.
But it was.
It was the funny thing because.
It was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was wrong. But in that moment, I knew I had to hear something. For whatever my. Well, you know, I'm kind of psychic. And I turned around, and I'm usually out of the class very quickly.
Right.
And this particular day, everyone had left. And I felt a moment coming over me, and I said, oh, I'm about to hear something.
Like you're meant to hear it.
Yeah, and I knew that I need to hear it and, like, not take it personally.
Well, to use it as fuel.
Yeah.
You know?
And so when I heard him say, like, kind of joking about calling me Marsha, and what is it, he, him, she, like, I don't know what to call, you know?
Yeah.
And he turned around and was like, oh, Marsha, are you still here? And he got very nervous. And he's like, what, do you want to live here? You want to set up camp? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Totally.
And then he followed me out to the parking lot.
So I'm going to take your headphones.
Yeah, exactly. I did that once. but, you know, those kind of things. I like to remind people that, you know, everyone that who wants to wear dresses or anything you want to wear, I don't think that it also should define your who you are.
No, I mean,
like, as a, like, you know, you can be a cis straight male and want right. to wear, like, clothes shouldn't define.
I mean, we both follow an amazing guy.
Yeah, no, I love that guy.
From, like, the UK that wears heels, and he's a cisgendered straight man.
Yeah, with a full family. And
I mean,
and everything.
My gender spectrum is so wide. I come across as a pretty masculine-looking person.
Very.
Today. But then I'll go home, and then I'll put on a wig, and then I'll wear it out to dinner, you know, if I'm feeling like it. It's completely freedom.
Yeah.
And it's a safe space to be completely free, and it starts at home, or it starts within you, and then it's like a painterly expression almost.
Yeah.
To then wear it. And I don't care what anybody says. Anybody wearing a wig and an oversized t-shirt and a high-heeled, like, boot is my fucking hero.
Yeah.
They're so fucking cool.
No, definitely. You know, I think now thinking about it, while just having this conversation, I think you know my obsession with Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera.
Yeah.
And doing all of the research I've done on them, they give me strength, honestly, and particularly why I love having the name Marsha. It gives me sort of a power because they did it at a time where, like, you walked out the door and 30 seconds later you're picked up by the police.
Right.
And you had to have, specifically in this time, you had to have three items that were male
assigned
to your gender. And if you didn't, you were immediately arrested. And this could be every day.
And water thrown on you.
Right. And I also remember hearing another podcast in the 50s where a woman was pulled over and she was...
They had podcasts in the 50s?
No. But in the 50s, maybe, I don't know. Maybe just conversation. It was just called conversation. But she was pulled over by a policeman. And when he saw her wearing pants... He beat her up and arrested her. And this was not that long ago.
No.
So, when I get looks from other women about wearing dresses, and I kind of want to be like, there was a moment not so long ago where you could not wear pants.
I mean, George Sand, who's one of my favorite writers, in order to get her her work published, she masqueraded as a man, as George Sand.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago either.
And that's why I think like it's so important to...
Education's important.
Education, visibility.
History, visibility, queer visibility and education.
Yeah, and champion those who are doing something different.
And it's good what you said too, how she gives you strength. And for me, music really gives me strength.
Yeah.
When I'm in... I mean, you know me and my genre of music. It's.
Do you want to sing a song?
No, I sure don't. But when I'm listening to jazz, yeah. I literally dance the part. I look the part. I completely chameleate into this character of being. And then I'll listen to Iron Maiden, and I'll be a chameleon towards that. And then, you know, it keeps on growing. And that's really what gives me strength, personally. Yeah.
No, I think we all kind of like have to pull from our own different artillery of like what's gonna like empower us that day. And obviously, it's not just music. It's not just one person. It's constantly like, you know, I was telling someone this story the other day about Jaden Smith and how someone was being bullied at his school for wearing a skirt, and then he decided to wear skirts to school and was like, I dare you to bully me. Obviously they weren't. He's popular. He, you know, is secure in who he is. And I think that was such a bold move at such a young age.
Imagine the kid being like, you can't take my style.
Yeah, first of
like,
all.
Like, nice try, Jaden.
Yeah.
No. He's upset now. Take that Cheer off. That's
yeah.
mine.
Yeah. What are you doing? No, but I think it's very, I think that was like, very cool, and like how this younger generation, they are testing those things, and they are allowing themselves to wear more feminine things. Like, I mean, every every young adult I see in the club now, all the boys are wearing pearl necklaces.
All the boys are wearing pearl necklaces. All the girls are wearing flats, which we need to talk about at some point. At some point.
Be.
I'm very liberal. I'm very fucking liberal.
Yeah, you are.
But not when it comes to flats at a club.
Right. Well, we could talk about that on another episode. Let's let them be.
They're children.
You're children. Not in the club. But speaking of the club.
Love the club. Yeah. I love the club.
What do you think about club style nowadays?
Sober?
Yeah.
It's strange. It's really easy for me. Because not to negate anybody that has a really hard time when they are out, but when I'm overstimulated, at least for a little bit, that's when I'm perfect to handle situations. It's when, and it also makes it obvious why I shouldn't drink, because you see why. But it's when people start like touching and getting gropey and they get like hot breath. And that's when I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I gotta hit it.
I mean, because we
which
hit
is like
the
a 2 hour mark.
Sober all the time.
Right. I actually have a really great time.
Because we're fun girls.
It's weird. It's weird shit. Like when I'm on an airplane, I really want a Bloody Mary. Just because, and I even drink like the mix of it.
You do, actually.
Which has so much sodium.
Yeah. You're like, two cans, please.
Right. And it's a very funny thing to think about because when you're not sober. I mean, I could have had, like, what, like, 8 to 12 spicy margaritas in a night. If I had more than 4 virgins, virgin margaritas.
Right.
I feel like the ulcers on my tongue. My stomach starts to churn.
Wait,
how did I do this?
Yeah.
Like, alcohol's not that great.
Right.
Like, it's not that much of a, like, camouflager. I've been brought up in the club since I was 13, 14 years old. Not your clubs, don't worry. I started going out when I was raised in England.
They're very relaxed there.
To the clubs there.
Kids in clubs.
And I've looked like this since I was a kid.
Which I'm laughing.
Helped me there, but I don't think I ever should have been there. But I wasn't drinking. I wasn't doing drugs at the time. I loved house music. I loved socializing with adults. They spoke my lingo. And I kind of never left the club system, and all my friends are nightlife.
Yeah.
Now I am of age, and I can continue going out. But I also love my early mornings, so it's a balance.
Yeah. Because
I think one of our friends said something really important to me, and she said, sometimes what you want to do isn't necessarily what you should do.
Right.
And I've never heard that, because what I want to do, whether it's good or bad, I usually end up doing.
Right, right, right.
And this was completely true. Like, I do want to go out tonight, but I probably shouldn't. My body needs a break.
Yeah.
And just because I'm sober, it doesn't mean that I have a full rotunda of
Well, we give a energy. Lot of energy when we're out. And
right. And also, when I'm out, I'm barely speaking to anybody, by the way.
Right.
I'm a huge introvert that loves to be an extrovert. And so I just kind of take in everybody's energy.
No, I see you do it all right. the time.
And then it's just like 30 people talking at me.
I mean, I think we both have that problem where people just are talking at us and they're either crying or saying
But then they have the audacity to call us cold.
Yeah, well, because Beyonce's on and we walk away.
Right.
Yeah, no, definitely. What do you think, now thinking about this, the relationship with drugs and alcohol and our gay community is,
oh,
and,
gosh.
And why is it so heavily used? You know, like you said, we need more sober friends.
I almost think it also runs in DNA at a certain point in the gay community, going back to escapism and yeah. how things aren't great right now, but things were so much worse.
Yeah.
And it's kind of trickled down into this atmospheric of, I mean, the worst of worst drugs. And I've seen it really decline people's health and kill people at the end of the day. And it's rampant in the gay community.
No, definitely. I mean,
even in like the great parts of the community, it's still there. I mean, can I speak frankly?
Yeah, please.
I could walk into any bar right now and score an 8-ball of cocaine.
Yeah, no.
Any bar.
Even now, like
Hollywood.
When it's like,
and it's a gentle 2 p.m.
Yeah. Even now when there's so much warnings about fentanyl and things like.
Oh, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to be the one that's.
Right. It's just going
to
happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's so insane that I let it get to the point that it did, to the point where I had Narcan in my house, which is what you take when you overdose.
Yeah, wow.
Like, that was put in my car. It was put in my house. And I was like, oh, you guys are so silly.
Yeah.
But it's not preventative. It's for after.
Shit. Right.
And then so it's like.
Emergency.
I should have taken that as a sign.
Right.
From people.
You should stop here.
Because it's literally what you take when you're dead.
Wow. but that is a thing. Like, I see in 2020, I lost 6 friends.
Yeah.
2 overdoses. And that shook me. I've never heavily been into one thing or the other, but it did shake me and be like, where do I want my life to go? Because I see, you easily see where it can go.
Oh, yeah. I was going to die.
Yeah.
It was happening.
And for, to make that choice and to be happy and settled with ourselves. And I think that's where it starts. You have to be comfortable with yourself. So that you don't maybe possibly need it all the time. I mean, no judgment for anyone that wants to do it. I own a nightclub. Please order all the bottles in the world. But, you know, find the balance, like you said. And I think for...
Order the bottles responsibly.
Yeah, order the bottles responsibly, definitely.
And order Sunny Vodka.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Plug. Thank you for that plug, Sunny Vodka. But I think that we've made some beautiful choices and... now it's a colorful journey that we will remember, and this is the start of it, you know, this podcast, Marsha, 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 and...
I can't wait for more.
Yeah, you know, to continue on with my workout journey, and as I have been adding more and more to my workout routines, I do see myself getting more and more muscles, and we have a very close friend that has told me before, like, girl, like, your muscles... Like, that's not girly and things like that. I mean, words are powerful. Words are magic. We know this. It's just why I kind of surround myself with kind of positive things to listen to.
Yeah.
Just for my own personal armor, if you will. But, you know, when I am lifting weights and doing all the things.
Why do people have a problem with women... And trans women, or anybody that wants to be strong.
Yeah.
Physically strong and emotionally strong. Just strong in general. People wanting the need to repress that is so misogynistic and is so disgusting to me.
I mean, I don't get it, honestly.
And it has to hark back to being threatened in some kind of way and not feeling quote-unquote man enough, yeah. Which is such a bullshit concept anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think that there is... I think we have to have a new relationship with both words. Being feminine and being masculine. Because I'll tell you an experience I had in my acting class last night. One of the exercises is noticing something about your partner and you say it out loud. And one of the actors goes to the other person, "You're very masculine." And that immediately put that person into like a state of, he felt like he was being threatening. When masculine can be like, you can make someone feel safe and be masculine.
Sure.
But I felt bad a little bit, like that he threw that out there and said, "You're masculine," and it's frightening. But he wasn't being that at all. And I think that was like a misperception. And I think he threw it out there without really noticing because he did apologize later.
I think the vocabulary and the terminology of masculine and femininity really is going to hark a new age and change in the next few years.
I really hope so, because
there is no such thing as femininity and masculinity.
No, and just be yourself.
Exactly.
One, and be strong, and that doesn't have to be threatening. And, you know, wear your camo clothing or whatever.
I was going to wear camo jeans today.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Threatening, no. But that made me really sit and think the way the energy had changed the moment he said, "You're very masculine," and it really did change.
I threw a stone into the pond.
Yeah, he threw stones at the pond. But I felt that was very interesting to me. Like, I really did sit and think about, we have to create a new relationship with both words. And neither should be like, well, you're feminine, so that's less than, or not as strong, or... you know, maybe you can't be protective if you're feminine, you know, or you can't carry your own groceries or something like
that. It's a pull and a push.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah. And I don't also want people to be scared to be masculine, you know, or think that if they are, that it's going to be threatening to someone in some way. There's toxic masculinity, and that's
something
totally different.
And there's
also
being fucking threatening.
You're right.
Like, you don't want to be threatening? Don't be threatening.
Exactly. But I do sometimes have, and we all do have, these perceptions of what kind of people wear. And I remember there was this one time I was approached by the guy who trained the Navy SEALs.
Yes.
I know. But he looked like the Terminator and the whole bit. And he came up to me after 7 days at this retreat, and he said, "You know, when you walked in, I judged you." I mean, and this is someone that is kind of trained and put up these major
sure.
walls. So the fact that I particularly didn't notice him throughout the time, but I was shocked to know that I made a ripple in whatever, you know, his world was. And he said, "When you first came in, I judged you, and now that I know you, I think you're so beautiful." And he cried, and he gave me a hug, and he's like, "Do you want to go to a SEALs reunion with me?" And I was like, "Hold on." Like, let's not take it that far. But, you know, I thought but I think because I was there, and this is the importance of visibility, he saw me as human now.
Right.
Instead of like all the judgment, and that goes along to...
which might not have been his fault in the beginning.
Right.
You know?
No, totally. He wasn't exposed or ever, right. ever seen anything like that. And I think that there's a saying that I wrote down, and it was like, if you don't know, then you can't care, you know? And if you don't know
just true.
About yeah. me, then you're probably not going to care about me. And that goes with most people. You know, you don't really care about the stranger.
It's ignorance.
You know,
yeah.
it's ignorance. And I think that's very important. And I think that's why having this platform is very important, to create more visibility and to get people to start caring more.
I'm here for it.
And with that said, I want to actually know, how's your heart today?
How's my heart?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Is it full?
Yeah, it's full. I've had a really good day.
Yeah.
I've had a really good day. It's only going to keep getting better.
I think so. My heart's full too.
I think it's going to this is going to be a really fun weekend.
So now that we're wrapping up, is there any place that we can find you or anything that you've been working on or giving your time to, any special charities or anything like that?
You can find my work at August Getty Atelier on Instagram, Facebook, augustgetty.com. As far as things that I've been working with, I mean, I'm always a part of GLAAD, UNICEF, MFAR. The GLAAD event that I'm actually, the NFL event that I'm going to tonight is actually GLAAD sponsored. And my mother's on the board of that. I'm on the board of my mother's foundation.
I mean, you guys honestly do such beautiful work.
Thank you. I actually recently just saw the LGBT Center, which has bestowed my mom's name on it, which was so beautiful. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to Project Angel Food to go check it out, too, to see what work we can do there.
Well, I love that. And we're so thankful for all that you and your family do for our community and for everyone. And it's very special.
Thank you.
You're welcome, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Vocal Podcast Network. Executive producers are Michaela Simon and Marcia Molinari. Produced by Yonta Taiwo, Morgan McDonald, and Ariana Giles. Shooting and editing by Morgan McDonald. Music by Aaron Rees. Artwork by Dominic Demetz. And hosted by Marcia Molinari. Remember to follow at Marcia Molinari and at Vocal Podcasts everywhere. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.